Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English.
Today we have a program that is twice as good as any other we have produced. That's because Ana Mateo discusses words and phrases with the word double. To close our program, we have the next part in our series on America's presidents from Kelly Jean Kelly. But first, this discussion about a language corpus from Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins.
A language corpus is a huge collection of texts taken from print, video, audio, and other sources. It is a powerful tool that can help you learn more about English words and phrases. In today's article, we look at the most widely used corpus, the Corpus of Contemporary American English, or COCA. COCA contains more than 1 billion words from 1990 to 2019. And it has many ways to help learners find out more about how words are used. Take the adjective profound as an example. In a dictionary, you will find that one meaning of profound is the adjective deep. So you might think English speakers will say that a body of water is profound. But English speakers never say that. A corpus like COCA shows that the most common words that follow profound are effect or ability. And the most common words that follow the adjective deep are breath or water. For example, we will say, her teaching has a profound effect on students' learning. You need to be a strong swimmer to swim in deep water. COCA makes it easy to read and hear examples of how to use vocabulary correctly.
First, you will need to register with COCA to use the collection. You can register for two kinds of accounts. A free account limits you to 20 searches for words within any 24-hour period. A paid account will give you 200 searches within any 24-hour period. Here are the steps for using COCA to find examples of how a word is used. We will use the word profound to show this. On the homepage, type the word profound in the white search box on the left side of the screen. Click Find Matching Strings just below the search box. This will take you to a new web page. On this new page, you will see the word profound in blue. Click on it. You will now see a page with 100 examples using the word profound, and the word profound is shown in green. The source of each example is shown on the left side. If you click on the source on the left, COCA will show you a larger part of the text containing the example. If you want to see more examples, click the two forward page arrows at the top or bottom left. This brings you to the next 100 examples. In this way, you might find more kinds of sources for the examples. COCA also has a tool that lets you see many useful things about a word on one page. We will show this with the word deep. On the COCA homepage, click on Word in blue, just above the white search box. Type the word DEEP in the search box. Click on the See Detailed Info for the word, just below the search box. Now you will see a page with definitions, audio pronunciation, links to translations, synonyms, links to videos with the word, and more. This page is called the Word Homepage. Scroll down the page. You will see another long list of example sentences with words in many colors. The adjective deep is in green, and the nouns that follow it are in blue. You will see that in these examples, the noun breath occurs the most after the adjective deep. You may wonder, how can we know for sure that the most common words that follow deep are breath or water? Scroll back to the top of the Word homepage for deep. On the right, you will see the word collocates in blue. A collocation is a word or phrase that is often used with another word or phrase. Clicking on collocates will show you lists of words that follow deep. And you will see that breath and water are the first two words on the list.
Knowing what words sound the best together can be hard for people learning English. A corpus can be helpful because it shows you ways that words are used together. See if you can learn to use COCA by searching for the adjectives utter and diverse. Utter is both a verb and an adjective, so you must tell COCA to only search for adjectives. Here is how to do that. Just to the right of the white search box, click on the POS letters in gray. Next, click on POS again, and then select ADJ All. This makes COCA search only for adjectives. In the search box, delete the letters ADJ and type the word you want to search. Now follow the steps shown above for profound and deep, but this time use the words utter and diverse. If you find on the Word homepage for utter that COCA has searched for the verb form, you can change it to adjective. To do this, click on ADJ in blue just below the word utter on the top left area of the page. When you perform a search, what do you notice about the nouns that follow utter? About the nouns that follow diverse? Write to us and let us know what you found. Learning how to use a corpus can take some time. COCA has a guide showing you the many ways to use it. You can also find tutorials on YouTube. Just remember that a corpus is a tool that can help you deepen your understanding of vocabulary and the ways to use it. And in another Education Tips, we will explain more about the importance of collocations and how a corpus can help you learn them. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about one of those English words that changes meaning depending on the words added to it. Double is just such a word. It is such a useful word that we should discuss it on the double. That means quickly. If I say, get here on the double, it means get here as soon as you can. Please. But that is just one of the many uses of this versatile word. Double means two of something. So if you double up on something, you increase the amount by two. For example, if I plan to enter a swimming race, I might want to double up on my training. So if I train 1 hour a day, I would increase my training to 2 hours a day. Now, if you add down to double, you get something completely different. If you double down, you stick to a position or undertaking, even if it is not a good one. You are not willing to change your position at all. For example, instead of apologizing for a poorly worded statement, the politician doubled down and said it again. Here we could also say he dug in his heels. Now, if something does double duty, it serves two purposes. For example, an exercise bike serves double duty if I can also dry my towels on it. People can also do double duty. That means they do two jobs or the work of two people. Let's combine double with the word back. If you double back, you turn around and come back the same way that you came. One time I took a hike and got a little lost. So instead of continuing, I just doubled back. I returned the way that I came. A delayed reaction to something that takes you by surprise is called a double take. We usually say, do a double take. For example, I did a double take when I saw my coworker after a year. She had a new haircut and a tattoo. I had to double check if it was even her. When I looked again and made sure it was my friend, I told her how much I liked her tattoo. Then she doubled over with laughter. As it turns out, it was a temporary tattoo. When we double over, we bend over and cannot stand up straight because of laughter or from pain. For some reason, certain double words are not good. For example, double-crossing someone means to cheat them. A double-cross is a betrayal. We could also use the word double-dealing, which has a similar meaning. Double-talk is language that appears to be meaningful, but in fact is a mixture of sense and nonsense. And double-speak is language used to trick people by hiding some of the truth. A double standard is a set of principles or rules that apply differently and usually more severely to one group of people than to another. For example, people are not surprised if an older man dates a much younger woman. However, those same people may criticize a woman who dates a much younger man. That is a common double standard, because the outcomes are so different. And that's the end of this words and their stories. I hope you enjoyed this exploration of the many word combinations using double. You may want to double up on your English lessons by practicing with the combinations of this very useful word. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. We just heard from Ana Mateo. She discussed English phrases that include the word double. Ana joins us now. Ana, I have to say, your programs are always wonderful, but this one was double the fun.
Thanks, Dan. I had a lot of fun writing it, too. But I hope you really liked it and you're not giving me some doublespeak.
No, Ana, not a chance. I'm doubling down on my opinion. This is a really fun word to use. Let me ask you about some moments when you've used this versatile word. You discussed your coworker who got a new tattoo and your double take. Do you have any other memories of a double take?
Yes, I was on a hike one time and did a massive double take. There was a huge male moose on the hiking trail ahead of me. He was making those noises moose make before they charge. So I immediately doubled back down the trail.
Whoa, that sounds scary. I have a hiking story, but definitely not like that one. I went on a hike with a friend about 3 years ago, just outside Boston, Massachusetts. We went into the forest, and I thought there was no chance we would get lost because we were so close to the city. But I was wrong. We walked for hours, and then it started raining. We got so wet. I wish we had doubled back sooner because I would have saved that pair of shoes.
Oh, Dan, that is too bad. But at least you have a good story.
That's true. I'll always remember that day. And I bet you'll remember that moose. Ana, let me ask you this. You sure got a lot of double expressions into this week's episode, but I'm sure you had double the number in mind when you started writing. Do you have a double expression you did not get to use this week?
Yes, actually. Even though the story has many double expressions, there are some that I did not use. Double jeopardy. Double jeopardy is a complicated concept with a legal connection. So I decided to keep that one for its own story. I can say the same thing about double vision. That is a medical condition. And double trouble, that's a fun one to say, but it didn't make it into my story. There's always time for another one.
That's true, Ana. This episode could be double the length. It was a fun conversation. I wish we had double the time, but we have to finish up. Thanks for joining us, Ana.
You're welcome, Dan. Anytime.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Chester A. Arthur. The letter A is for Alan, his middle name. Arthur took office because of an unexpected event. He was sworn in as vice president in March 1881 under James Garfield. But only 100 days into Garfield's term, the president was shot. He suffered for months. Arthur was not close to Garfield. The two men belonged to the same party, but they had different ideas on the issues of the day. They publicly disagreed on a number of subjects. If Garfield lived, Arthur would probably not have much power in his administration. But Garfield eventually died. By this time, it was well established that if the President of the United States dies in office, the Vice President becomes the President. So in September 1881, Arthur became the country's chief executive. He served the remaining 3.5 years of Garfield's term. Historians say that, for the most part, Arthur performed ably and well. Chester Arthur was raised in the northeastern states of Vermont and New York. He was one of 8 children in his family. Their father was a religious leader and anti-slavery activist. Arthur attended college in New York, then taught school and studied law. But he never wanted to stay in a small town and live modestly. He wanted to live in New York City, work as a lawyer and public official, become wealthy, and enjoy the lifestyle of a gentleman. And that is what he did. Arthur advanced from an entry-level job in a law office to a leadership position in the military during the Civil War. After the fighting stopped, he worked in a good-paying job as a lawyer, and then accepted a top position in the government. For 7 years, Arthur served as the collector of the Port of New York. His job involved supervising 1,300 people. They collected large amounts of money that came from taxes on imported goods. The job had a political element, too. It was under the control of a U.S. senator from New York, Roscoe Conkling. Conkling was known as a Republican Party chief who traded political support for financial and other benefits. Arthur was never found guilty of accepting money or gifts in exchange for the help of his office, but he was closely linked to Conkling's political machine. When Rutherford B. Hayes became president in 1878, he tried to fight corruption in government jobs. He targeted Conkling and Arthur. Arthur's position as the collector of the Port of New York was one of the issues in the election of 1880. President Hayes had suspended Arthur from the job. To get it back, Arthur and Conkling supported an effort to re-elect former president Ulysses S. Grant. But another candidate won the Republican Party's presidential nomination, James Garfield. Garfield and Arthur were not natural allies. Although they were both Republicans, they represented different points of view. Political leaders hoped to unite the party. So when Garfield was chosen as the presidential candidate, they added Arthur as the vice presidential nominee. The effort to unite the party worked well enough to win the election, but relations between the two men were uneasy. One of Garfield's first acts was to appoint someone for Arthur's old job in New York. The new president wanted someone who was not loyal to Conkling, so he gave the position to one of his supporters instead. In protest, Conkling resigned from the Senate. But then events took an unexpected turn. Garfield was shot by a mentally unbalanced man who believed the president owed him a government job. And Chester A. Arthur became president. When Arthur took office, he had the public image of being an experienced political operator. Most people believed he cared only about supporting the aims of a small part of the Republican Party. Instead, President Arthur took an independent position on several issues. In opposition to most of his party, Arthur supported legislation to reform the country's civil service. It aimed to clean up corruption in government and took away some of the ability of politicians to give government jobs to their supporters. To be fair, in the short term, the act helped Arthur's party. Arthur also broke with the Republican Party leadership to support a reduction in tariffs, and he strongly argued to limit spending federal money on projects that helped only a few areas or businesses. Instead, he wanted to cut taxes so more people would profit from the government's surplus. Finally, Arthur vetoed an anti-immigration act from Congress. The measure proposed banning Chinese immigrants for 20 years. Arthur argued that the Chinese had improved the American economy by helping build a railroad across the country. He also did not want to hurt potential trade with China. However, when Congress offered to ban Chinese immigrants for only 10 years, Arthur agreed. In addition, his administration banned immigrants who were considered poor, criminal, or mentally insane. Perhaps Arthur's most memorable act as president, however, was to redecorate the White House. He did not like its appearance inside, so he asked one of New York's top designers, Louis Tiffany, to make the home brighter and more stylish. In the newly remodeled rooms, Arthur held parties with fine food and drink for elite guests. He was known as the gentleman boss. Observers then and now say that Arthur served well as president. He was a solid leader after the difficult years of the Civil War and Reconstruction. But Arthur did not live much beyond his presidency. Shortly into his term, he learned he had a serious kidney disease that would likely kill him. As a result, he did not try hard to get reelected. Instead, after finishing his term, he returned to his home in New York. Arthur tried to work as a lawyer, but he soon became too sick. His wife had died of malaria before he became president, and he liked to spend his free time fishing or with friends instead of with his children. But in his last months, he could not enjoy those activities either. He died at home at the age of 57. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thank you, Kelly, for that report. And thanks to our VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. For more, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.